A couple of hours ago, the stores locked their doors. And it doesn't matter, even if I've been done my shopping and preparing for, well, I could say weeks, but really, I mean like a day or two, I always sigh a little relief once I know the stores are closed. Because now, even if I need it, there's nothing more I can do. No more to buy, no last minute run to the grocery store. Please tell me I'm not the only one who does that about three times. No more getting or running or, well, there's doing, but it's at home. While there may be some final preparations to be done for Christmas dinner tomorrow, for this brief moment tonight, all is at rest. And after the last minute shoppers find their way home, quickly the darkness of night descends. Now tonight's story is a story for people of all times, but it is especially for those who feel weighed down by the heaviness of the things in the world that represent darkness. By mass shootings becoming a normal weekly occurrence, by corrupt leaders who rule with fear and lies, by countless missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls, by millions of voices crying out, "Me too," by frightening spikes in hate crimes. For all of us who shake with fear a little bit inside when the darkness falls, tonight's story is for you. It was against this backdrop of darkness, just as cruel as ours today, that the one called Savior, Messiah, and Lord was born on a floor and laid in a feeding trough for a bed. For what kind of world forces a young pregnant woman to travel 111 kilometers on foot or on the back of a donkey for the establishment of an oppressive taxation system? What kind of community can't find a clean, even meagerly hospitable place for a woman to give birth? What kind of a world is an infant king greeted first by dirty, looked down upon shepherds? Only a world of darkness, a world that looked strikingly different from its creator's dream. And it was into the deep darkness of night, in the Judean hillside, that the angels pierced the sky and announced to shepherds good news of great joy for all people. Now, if you wander in the darkness of this night, like the person in our Christmas play, whether the Savior's birth of 2,000 years ago means anything for us today, well, you wouldn't be alone in your wondering. For we will praise God's faithfulness tonight and even through tomorrow, but then return to our senses by week's end. At week's end, the powerful will still be on their thrones, and the lowly will still be working in the fields. The rich will still be feasting, and the hungry will still be scrounging. The sick will still die, and the backs of those with mounting debt will still be breaking. I cannot promise you that in the retelling of Luke's incredible birth story, or that in the singing of familiar and beautiful songs, in the warmth and candlelight of this beautiful sanctuary, that you will find answers to your most perplexing questions. But you are here tonight because there is something about this story that captivates you? There is something about gathering in a quiet, candlelit sanctuary to sing Joy to the World and Silent Night that makes you feel peaceful. There is something about the words Emperor Augustus and Quirinius, governor of Syria, Bethlehem and Joseph and Mary. We know the lines by heart. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. There is something about these words that we know to be true, and that despite our incredulousness, we need them to be true. And so we gather to hear the story again and again. Precisely because Jesus was born into the place where he was needed the most, into a world enveloped in darkness and fear, into a world desperately in need of hope in the face of despair, peace in the face of violence, joy in the midst of anxiety, and love in the midst of it all. As improbable and outrageous as it all sounds. The story is meant to be outrageous contrast to the world as we know it. That an infant born in a stable to a poor, displaced couple could usurp the throne of the emperor, not with a sword, but with forgiveness, compassion, mercy, and peace. People of all times and all places, you are meant to be captivated by this. And you are meant to give expression to such forgiveness, compassion, mercy, and peace in your own lives and your own communities. For that, this is how the promise is fulfilled. This is how the birth of Christ continues to give hope. The dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And so hear this on this night. You who are strong in faith, Christ is born for you. You who have more questions and doubt than answers and certainty, Christ is born for you. You who are abused and oppressed by the powerful, Christ is born for you. You who feel burdened by shame or anger, you who are sad and weary, Christ is born for you. You weary travelers, you exiles who long to return to the familiarity of home, you who are strangers in a new land, Christ is born for you. You who tremble with fear under the cloak of a world of darkness, do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. Christ is born for you. Amen.